So welcome to a little quick podcast with Tiny Sumo. I just wanted to chat to him about the John Jones fiasco and see his thoughts, which I thought might mirror my own. If you saw the title and you fell for the clickbait title, I apologize. Not because I used a clickbait title, because you were stupid enough to click on a link that said hashtag clickbait and went from there. We're not scientists. It's just two blokes with our opinion. Didn't like it? Turn off now. Go watch something else. If you would like to hear two idiots rant about it, then continue. Enjoy.
I'll kiss you on the lips and take you to Italy.
That is a classic.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Anyway, no time for nonsense. Gotta get down to business.
I'm gonna get straight to the point. We've got no time for nonsense.
No time for messing around. Straight to the point.
No time for fluffing about. Straight to it.
Just straight to the point. Just gonna get on with it.
Better not be honeybeating me, bro.
Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. Okay, Zane. Now, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you, from the depths of our twisted imaginations, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Pirate Radio Podcast, my friend.
You're such an idiot.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Big Thing Pirate Radio Podcast. Time to collab.
Little quick boy hour of power that's certainly not going to go an hour because Dylan's busy.
Because I'm a talking podcast boy and I have another chat to in like 35 minutes or something.
You're a busy man. Busy man.
People want to talk to me. Shout out to people who have been hooking up chats for me. For those who don't know, that is by far the busiest time for me in terms of like actually doing any of the chat stuff is like trying to actually lock people into chat. I spend a lot of time like messaging people, sliding into DMs. That's essentially
what make that whole process just exponentially harder and worse?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Bang Bang.
if I had a Tiny Sumo Bang Bang, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
That just would not be it's bad enough for me, running a social media presence entirely from my phone. If I had another person involved, I think everything would crumble. I think the only reason it works is because I do it by myself, essentially. I have help from others.
That helps. There's only one person to worry about, and that person.
There you go.
And then, now I've got an image in my head of you wearing my hat,
mm-hmm.
and then you take your hat off, and there's a tiny little Tiny Sumo Bang Bang. He's like, and then he takes his hat off, and there's another one.
It's like Tiny Sumo Inception. That'd be
exactly.
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah.
I'd watch that movie. We've already got sidetracked. We decided before we got going, we're like, no, we're gonna fucking knuckle down.
I've got my eye on the timer.
We're just gonna fucking talk about the shit show debacle that is UFC 232. Now, everyone who follows MMA of any description should know about this. I've like held off on talking about it. I thought, I don't really want to. Like, there's so many sites covering it, you know. I didn't know if I wanted to even. I didn't even want to fucking give my fight picks. Normally, I'd give my fight picks for a big card, but I'm like, you know what? Fucking UFC. I didn't want to. But you and I have talked. We'll do a video. One of us will probably be devil's advocate, and we'll talk some shit. If anyone wants to know, we're the only opinions that count. In regards to any of the doping allegations, the pay-per-view, you know, location movement, we're the only ones that matter in terms of information.
Well, I'm the only one that's dressed like a scientist.
That is true. That is exactly true. So, a fucking anti-doping USADA scientist. That's
exactly. What? That's fucking cowboys, mate. Actually, all come full circle.
That is how I envision.
It's a wild
you
west.
You are wearing the USADA uniform, as far as I can tell. Yeah. As far as I can
tell. Hey, boys, piss in a cup.
That's all I imagine going on at USADA right now. People walking around in cut-off flannies, in cowboy hats, doing these ones. Just everywhere they go. Everywhere.
Nanoparticle. What do they even call it? Pinnacle? I don't know. That's parsecs. I mean, they're crapping on about something. And that, like, the bit that pisses, because I'm on both sides, like, I'm very conflicted about this. Because at the end of the day, I just want to see the fight, and I'm very biased. And I'm a big fan of Gustafson. To be honest, John Jones has won me over a little bit since he started actually just being a piece of shit. Like, since he's been owning it. Like, you know, I'm a bit of a piece of shit, you've probably had tendencies of being a bit of a piece of shit. I'm like, yeah. I respect it more that the facade's down, but I always liked Gustafsson. Like, Gustafsson's an underrated one of my favorite fighters. So I really want to see this fight. So that corrupts everything. But it just seems like there's just something about it that just leaves such a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, the whole thing, like, that's the thing too, from like a fan's perspective, from watching fighters, I would watch John Jones fight every week. He's an amazing fighter.
Yeah.
Like, skill set wise, he's arguably the best fighter of all time. Obviously, there's a heap of stuff outside the cage that makes him a piece of shit. Yeah. It's not just the drug test stuff, which he's, like, he always just seems to, it's one of those things, it's like, if you keep coming up with this stuff, there has to be something there. Like, that's, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, dude, I don't know. There seems to be a lot of guys not constantly having to defend their actions, right?
Yeah.
And you're making squillions of dollars based off the fact that you're in the news because of all these other things. You're like, you know, you look at someone like fucking Bobby Knuckles, who's one of my favorites, and I think he should be the example for whatever it looks to be like. Yeah, a professional MMA fighter, never in trouble, always does the media obligations, is happy to be a company man, family guy, trains at the same local gyms, has never had an issue outside or inside the cage, but gets zero fucking marketing. It's nuts. It's nuts. And in saying that, too, two of the best all-time fights, the Romero fights, did fuck all numbers because they didn't get a push.
I did watch something the other day, though. It was comparing politics to wrestling.
Yeah.
But like part of it, they were breaking it down and they were essentially saying the heel makes the money.
Yes.
People love the face, but the heel is what makes the money.
Cost.
That just seems to correlate across the board.
Yes.
I don't really blame him for that because everyone seems to like his bit of a shit. So that's why we both have very successful podcast empires.
Yes.
But all right, the bit for me, like, I watched half of the Jeff Nowinski Joe Rogan experience. Mm-hmm. Funnily enough, the first time I've ever seen everyone turn on Joe Rogan, because normally he kind of skates through pretty scot free. Everyone was not happy about this. The things that, like, I'm not a scientist. Don't let the get up fool you. What they were saying sounded reasonable. Like, I'm not going to argue. What the scientists were saying sounded reasonable. The two parts that weren't addressed in, admittedly, the half a podcast that I turned off halfway through, maybe it was, one, preferential treatment.
Yes.
I'll forgive that because it is your main event fighter on your biggest fight card of the year. Whatever. You know, I'm a big believer in, I've had these conversations in past jobs. Potentially it was a conversation as I was getting fired. But about the, you know, that if you've got Michael Jordan on your team, do you bend the back of Michael Jordan because he's your best player? I'm personally of the opinion, fuck your best player because that'll screw up your entire culture and screw everything up. Like, so screwing over all of the fighters to keep that one is a terrible long-term strategy. But I get it. That's just a difference of opinion. I get why you do that. Watching it through, like the collusion or the backroom deals, that whether that is happening or not, that seems to be the issue. Because then it's like, what's the point? Like, USADA has ruined or lessened the UFC's product. Like, they had a better product when everybody, when the testing was a bit looser. Whether that was from people doing stuff or whether that was just a happy coincidence. UFC was a better product when people weren't tested as often. There was less, better performances, less pullouts, less gassing, better across the board. So they brought in USADA, which is, from a purely business perspective, you'd question that. The only business asking behind it is like, that's how they sold it for so much money. So like, again, not a scientist, not a businessman. Maybe it makes sense. But it seems like a little bit of overkill. The other sports, not so big on the old doping. The general, you know, dirty little secret is, yeah, don't do drugs. Just do a little. But we won't test you. You know what I mean? So it seems like they've gone over the top to go, you know, to be these front runners of propriety. So then when you do something like this, it's like, what is the point? Like, if you just didn't bring in USADA, you wouldn't have had this problem. And you just going on your merit, it just doesn't seem like a good decision, no matter which way you look at it.
So the two issues that I've seen with USADA is USADA's like a privately owned company.
Yeah.
You know, so the UFC essentially own USADA in that sense. So that is why you will see...
I thought they're independent.
Yeah, but it's still a private company.
Well, the UFC pays the bill, so yeah.
It's a private company that's paid by the UFC to do testing.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
There you go. So all of a sudden you turn around and like you get these guys getting crazy. Look, and I'm on two sides of it. Like, I like the idea of a clean sport. I'm also not naive to think that it's a possibility. So I would almost go, you can have like two extremes. Like, I enjoy the idea of like the old pride system where it's like, no, juice. Please juice. Everyone's juicing. You juice too. Well, I'll be juiced. It's fine. Everyone juice. Or do you have the idea of like that purity in the sport where it's like no one's juicing? That's never going to fucking happen. Like, it's never going to happen. Mm. The problem with USADA being a private company that then works for the UFC is you get someone like, say, Tom Lawlor, right? Yeah. Tom Lawlor was banned from competing for 2 years. He was then released at the end of his suspension. So that stopped him from earning for 2 years. And then afterwards cut him.
Yeah.
So he actually ended up going to pro wrestling for 2 years.
Yeah.
Had a fight on the Golden Boy.
Yeah, I saw that fight.
Mate, he was the co-main for the Chuck Taylor.
Get that tiny light heavyweight.
Yes. Yeah. Who's now fighting middleweight. I think he's just been signed to UFC at middleweight. But, you know, like, you had that, and apparently he had less of a picogram count in his system than John Jones. Right? So the argument is, it's like, if you have to come out and defend it so much, it's like, if you have to just, if there's so much science that needs to be involved in order to justify why or why not this person keeps pissing hot, whether it be for like, oh, well, you know, 18 months ago, he could have ingested it unintentionally, of course, and then it stays. He didn't piss hot for the actual drug. He pissed hot for the thing that's created by the drug, and that can stay in your system. And there's a pulsating effect. It's like, kind of, you have to fucking work out terms to justify why John Jones is pissing hot. That's an issue. Secondly, right, so people see...
I'm even cool with that, to be honest. If it was anyone else, the fight would have been scrapped.
That's the issue. If it was anyone else, you wouldn't have got the explanation.
And 6 months later, you'd be having this conversation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it was anyone else, you wouldn't have got the explanation, right? You think about all the other guys that have just been that have just been sidelined for 6 months, 12 months, 20, like whatever it is, without so much as an explanation. Oh, they pissed off. Oh, okay, sweet. Oh, that would have pissed off for this. Oh, okay, I'm sure. Now, if we're saying that this is the testing protocol, think about how many people would have had this situation. I get that most of them aren't main event fighters, right? But that shouldn't be the precedence you set that was like, hey, now, look, this guy, he didn't really piss hot. He didn't, it's not real. So we'll just, rather than do anything about it, like my first thought when they said that he pissed hot, I'm like, okay, so you've got maybe someone to step up. What's Jan Blachowicz weighing?
Yeah.
What's his name? The white guy moved up from middleweight.
What's Nick Diaz doing?
What's Nick Diaz? But no, what's the guy that was middleweight? He beat up Shogun and he beat up Rashad. Anthony Smith, that's the one. I'm like, what's he doing? I'm sure, like, he's a smaller light heavyweight. What's he weighing? Just have Gustafsson versus him for the interim title. And then once all of this bullshit's cleared up, John Jones can saunter back in like you're going to let him do anyway, and you won't have had to move an entire pay-per-view from Vegas to LA because the testing is less stringent or the commission's fine. Or it's like, fuck out of here, man. Think about how many people have been affected by this in the middle of weight cuts, in the middle of preparations. Think about the fans that are affected, but like it just tarnishes the UFC's product entirely because it's like, oh, we just see what it's about. Like, you don't care. You just want the pay-per-view revenue. That's all you're really worried about. You're not worried about the fans that have flown internationally, have accommodation booked, paid for. That'll all be non-refundable. There's no way you get the money back for that. Well, you get your ticket price back.
Yeah.
Fucking sicko. Or do I go to Vegas and then fly to... Like, what do you do? What do you do? But that's not thought about.
I reckon you've hit the nail on the head, though. I reckon that's what it is. It's the... Well, have you seen basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. I think that's what it is. I think that's why UFC was so popular. I think that's why it grew so much. Because it had, you know, marketing, advertising, like every facet of our life that we live in is so fake and bullshit, and everyone's putting on that corporate persona, and they know that, you know that no one has your best interests at heart. UFC had that feeling of fairness. It had that feeling of, we're doing the right thing. And we all know they have like little naughty things and no one's perfect. But for a long period of time, it kind of had that, a purity to it. Whereas that's it with the Reebok deal, like all these bits and pieces, it seems to be chipping away. And it might just be that's what it is. When things get to a certain size, like this is the world we live in. We can't have nice things. And, you know, for us that have been watching it from the beginning, it's heartbreaking because you're like, oh, like, you know, I finally, like I started to believe in Santa Claus again. And now I found out that, yes, it's just some fat dude at the mall.
Yeah. It sucks. It's hard too because for the longest time there was another avenue after Pride, after WEC, after these other Strikeforce, whatever, after these other avenues were gone for guys, the UFC. And look, the UFC's always been like the premier organisation. It's what everyone strives to compete in. It's like I had an argument online not long ago with people like, they make good money. I'm like, motherfucker, there is literally still people on the undercards of the largest promotion in the world making $10,000 to fight.
Mm.
That is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Because you're then willing to tell that person, for this card, UFC 232, the person who's got the curtain jerker fight, I'm willing to move you, your entire fucking show, from one state to another, one area to another, at the drop of a hat, and you are still going to make $10,000.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get you a hotel room and a flight. Fuck you, I'm in the middle of a weight cut. I'm in the middle of prep.
Yeah.
I've got my camp here. All my family's in Vegas for the fight. It's my first fight on a UFC card. Fuck you, is that what I'm worth to you? But guys are staying in the organization. The other issue...
You don't have an option.
No, you don't. Well, like, there seems to be a little bit... Bellator is paying pretty well. You got the PFL, which hopefully succeeds.
One.
Ryzen, you know, one. There's other options, hopefully. It's good to see that there's other options. Look, the drug testing for those other organisations, probably way less stringent.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't actually care. Here's the thing, guys. I don't do steroids. I've never done steroids. I don't care if you do steroids.
Mm. I do a little bit. As a coach, I don't like it.
As a competitor,
because I don't let my guys do it, so that's why it pisses me off. Because then it's not fair. Like you guys have to be clean, so then I expect everyone else to be clean.
Yeah,
but I recognise that's my unique perspective. On a personal level, go and fucking shoot it up your bum hole and look fantastic on stage at your bodybuilding comp. Every other sport, do whatever the fuck you want. Just the sport that I have, people I care about that might be impacted by, I have a contrary opinion.
It's one of those things where it's like it's going to be so hard to eradicate from the sport, the idea being that the argument is at that pro level that like everyone is going to be doing it.
Yeah.
The USADA is fake, right? Mm-hmm. USADA is fake. There is a reason. I mean, there are government-sanctioned testing organisations that you can introduce as well. There's WADA and all that sort of stuff. None of them are going to be perfect. None of them are going to catch everyone all the time. But the idea is that it should be covered as stringently as possible. The idea that the UFC can pay a testing organisation and then pick and choose how they want to enforce those rules, that's unacceptable. The other issue is you have someone like Jeff Nowitzki, and everyone thinks Jeff Nowitzki is actually with USADA. Jeff Nowitzki works for the UFC.
Yeah, he used to be for USADA.
He used to be the USADA guy. He's not anymore. He works for the UFC.
Yeah.
So therefore, he is telling you what you want to hear. Mm. When he goes on the Joe Rogan podcast and he's telling me things, I can't take it seriously, regardless of his experience, because I go, you're a fucking UFC shill. Why should I listen to you?
He's a used car salesman telling you why the car's fine.
Of course you're going to tell me that John Jones is clean.
The fucking speed holes, bro. They make the car go faster.
Right. Of course you're going to tell me these things.
Yeah.
Because it is your job to get this fight across the line for your boss. Dana White is a shady shark motherfucker.
Mm.
He, you know, like when he had the Fatias back in, look, they did really good things for the sport at the start of the sport. But the fact is, Dana White is Don King. He is a shady fucking prick, and he will get fights over the line any means necessary. And if that means getting his bankable stars across the line, because think about it, you could talk about Connor, you could talk about John Jones, you can talk about any of these guys that he views as marketable and sellable. And he will make adjustments. He will move the goalposts to get them across the line. There is a reason Jeff Nowitzki is on the Joe Rogan podcast. Now, I'm not saying Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's my dude. I'm just saying Joe Rogan's a shill. Joe Rogan wants to talk to people. He's asking questions.
Maybe I'm a bit more of a fanboy. I would, in his situation, I would want to talk to Jeff Nowitzki. just for my own, like, I want to know. But what I would like to see, now that I've had some time to digest it, I want to see the anti-Jeff Nowitzki.
Yep.
Sit down. I want to see that conversation. Like, get the person that go that's smarter than you and me that goes, fuck, you pick the grams, mate. This isn't Egypt. I don't know why I called it Egypt. Yeah. I was going to say Egyptian and I changed to Egypt. I was trying to be funny with hieroglyphs, fucked it up, fucked the joke. But I want to see someone that goes, no, I'm a scientist. I've got my scientist hat on. I call bullshit on that that study that you're referencing. Because that was the bit as well, like the Jeff Nowitzki, a very hard situation, did a better job than me. There were some things from me that's not a scientist where I'm like, if you're coming on a podcast to explain the science about why this is okay, I expect you to A, have a better understanding of the science, and B, be better able to put it into dumb terms for people like me. There was a couple points, one in particular, where he's like, I don't know the specifics of that. He was talking about oral turnable versus injectable turnable or something. And I'm like, anyone else? I'm like, fair enough. I don't expect you to understand that minute difference. If you're coming on as an expert to talk about why it's okay and why I should trust you that's okay, and you don't know the fucking difference, that's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem. Yes. As a human being, I give you the benefit of the doubt. I make mistakes like that. I'm the type of person, I don't do my research. I go in guns blazing, like a loot. That's why I'm friends with Jimmy Bang Bang. And I like to just kind of go off the cuff and talk. That's why my podcast is in the comedy section. It's not in the fucking, I work for USADA, not really, scientist section. Because most of what I say is stupid and nonsense, and I don't get held to that high of a standard. I hold him to a higher standard. And it wasn't, it didn't make me feel warm and fuzzy.
No, that's my big thing, right? The drug testing aside, the bullshit cover-ups aside, the USADA in the UFC's pocket aside, Jeff Nowitzki as a UFC shield fake scientist aside, all that aside, my biggest issue as a fighter is how put out the rest of the card has been. My biggest issue as a fan is how put out everyone else has been for the sake of one person that keeps stepping on his dick. John Jones is, if not the greatest, one of the greatest fighters that we have ever seen.
Yeah.
That does not forgive the fact that whenever he is involved with a fight, it goes fucking tits up.
Yeah.
Right? It brings into question his entire legacy because everyone goes, well, how long has he been juicing? He's probably been fucking juicing the whole time. Okay? He's probably been juicing the entire time.
Well, he started training before USADA came in, so let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Everyone. Yeah. Everyone, right?
Let's call a spade a spade.
My issues are that for the fighters and for the fans. Yeah. Right? That there are guys on this card that are making fucking, they might make $20,000, right? You lose, you make $1,500 from Reebok, so you've made $21,500. Sick. You've then lost probably 25% of that to coaches, management, training partners, and then you pay tax, and your family flew to Vegas for the fight, so they can't watch the fight.
And fighting's expensive, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you can live off of sausages and mashed potato and be a fighter. You got to get premium food. You got your supplements. Hopefully you get a supplement sponsorship, but that might be difficult because you're not allowed to put their sticker on your shorts. Like, that's the thing that people don't realize as well. Is like they go, oh, you know, I can live off $200 a week. All right. How the massage is $80 a week. There you go. There's half your living expenses right away just for a bare minimum.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor's getting massaged once a day. Probably getting three happy endings.
Happy days to him. I would too if I was McGregor. That'd be all I'd be doing.
Lucky your wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
All the time. I wonder if McGregor's wife listens to the podcast. Oh. But that's my issues, right? Like, they're my problem. And hats off to, like, the Gustafsson for still taking the fight and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the other corners and shit, they're all just having to go with it. There's no... But there hasn't been a choice. There hasn't been, like, a, hey, guys, what do you think?
Yeah, you got
and
no options.
Ideally, it'd be great if the whole card got together and went... Yeah. No, we're not going.
Well, that's why you need a fighters union, which has been not going very well every time. Because I don't know if you know many fighters. They're not great at organising shit.
No.
But like, I personally think that is the biggest problem with the fighters union. It's like, I don't know.
Agreed.
So some of my best friends are fighters. They're not, on average, the type of people that I would get to help me organise something.
No.
They are unique human beings that have great skill sets. Organising a union, not one. Ah, we got to do it. I reckon you got your next chat in 12. So if we
in 12 minutes, okay. So let's do before we go. Then before we wrap it up, Fight picks them for this shit show, that is UFC 232. Mm-hmm. We'll just do the main card. We'll just do like the top five fights.
All right, read them out, so, and we'll do a quickie.
I don't have them written down, but I'm trying to remember them off the top of my head. Sure. Chad Mendes versus... I'm going to go with Volkanovski. I think he's been more active. Yeah, Chad Mendes was sidelined for a little bit with a suspension. Mm. Volkanovski, I think, has got less wear and tear, and I just want to pick him anyway because he's Aussie boy. He trains at one. You know, I've chatted with a few of the dudes from the gym, so I'm going to go with Volkanovski for that for sure.
I'm going Volkanovski as well for similar reasons. Primarily,
yeah,
Aussie.
Yeah.
Secondary, Chad's been off for a while.
Hmm. I think stylistically, they're both pretty similar in style, actually. Whereas I think Chad's probably more explosive. I think Alex is probably more of a grindy fighter, and I think they can probably take him deep and capitalize on that. The next fight will be Michael Chiesa versus Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit is one of my favorite all-time fighters. But fuck, I'm probably going to go with Chiesa. Condit hasn't won a fight in so long. I think stylistically, Chiesa's actually bigger, which is crazy because he's coming up from lightweight. Had a really shit cut going down to lightweight. Missed weight in his last fight against Pettis and then lost the fight. I think his style versus Condit, who's had trouble with grapplers in the past, I would love Condit to win because he's, like I said, he's one of those dudes I've watched like since the start of his career when he's fighting in Japan. But I think Kies probably takes it if I'm being sensible.
Yeah, similar. I think it depends on who shows up, and it is it's anyone's fight to lose. That's the way I kind of look at that one. I wouldn't be surprised either way. It's right there for the taking, or right there for the losing.
Mm. Who else is on the main card? You've got
the last one I can't remember. Fight. Yeah, it's Cyborg Nunes.
You got one in between that though.
Yeah.
Skip that.
Oops.
Skip that fight. I don't know.
Sorry, whoever it is. It's probably a heavyweight fantastic fight. The middle one always seems to be heavyweight. Right? Especially before you've got the women's fight straight afterwards. They like to sandwich in a heavyweight for some reason. But then it's light heavyweight title challenge, so I don't know.
Mm. Well, anyway, for the girls' fights, Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes. I'm going Cyborg. I think she's going to be way too... Like, she's going to be massive. I think she's a big, scary bitch. I think she's going to smash Amanda Nunes. I think Amanda Nunes has had trouble against other fighters that, you know, like Amanda Nunes lost to Kat Zingano. Amanda Nunes, probably you could have given Shevchenko the fight against her. I think Cyborg hits like the devil. I'm going Cyborg.
When you're normally... the big boy or the big girl in this situation, you generally don't match up very well against a bigger, scarier girl.
Because you're just so used
to being the hammer. When you come up against, and even this is just a slightly bigger hammer, like that's what it comes down to. So, I think it's going to be much closer than people think. I think it's going to be, it could go either way, but I have to go with Cyborg. If only for the fact that, like, she was my neighbor, and I stood next to her for a second, and she was bigger than me. And I'm like,
that's a good indication. And she cuts to 67 kilos or something insane. Nuts. And then main event, Gustafsson versus Jones. I had Gustafsson in the first fight. I actually, when I watched it, I thought Gustafsson got up 3-2. You know, like watching it back, it can go either way. I can see why I went to Jones. I would like Gustafsson to win. Crazy to think that Gustafsson's actually been off longer than Jones in terms of in-between fights. I think that Gustafsson's last showing was better than... he had a couple of... he didn't look that good against Jan Blachowicz. I think Jan Blachowicz probably troubled him on the feet more than he should have or more than he's likable. Jones obviously just smashed DC in the last fight. Unfortunately, I'm going to go Jones. I don't want to, but I'm going to go Jones.
I think the world is a fairy tale, so I like to pick things based on the story.
Yeah.
I think Gustafsson's got it. Based purely on if this was a movie.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do.
I really do. I think he's got it.
Hopefully.
Because I don't think DC beats Jones. That's the best story. Apart from the fact that for whatever reason people don't like DC. But I just don't see that happening. Whereas in my completely subjective, not based on facts, I can see Gustafson like just boom, boxing his head off.
Stylistically, they match up better than DC and Jones tend to match up. So I think from a size perspective, DC just probably not big enough, which is weird because then when he goes up to heavyweight, he looks better, but it might just because he's way faster and he's able to not cut weight.
I don't see him retaining that heavyweight strap. Off top. I see him beating Brock Lesnar, but I think Stipe beats him in a rematch. But then again, then that's the extent of who I think beats him in a rematch. So mainly I just like Stipe.
There's no one else.
All right, let's do it.
That's the five picks. We gave the most comprehensive breakdown of UFC 232 available. For anyone that watched, they'll be opinionated as well. Fuck the UFC, fuck Dana White, fuck Jeff Nowitzki, fuck John Jones, fuck the California State Athletic Commission. I think that's about it.
Las Vegas Athletic Commission.
No, because California sanctioned it.
Yeah, but Las Vegas allowed them to withdraw the application so that they were then allowed to apply to California.
Yeah, fuck them too. Fuck them all. All right, dude. We'll talk after this.
All right. I'll speak to you soon.
See you, bye.
Bye.